And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra, one, and that's how we get
the podcast.
The podcast.
The podcast.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
Oh,
the podcast.
Yes.
The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
It's a phenomenon.
It's a phenomenon.
Our podcast is a phenomenon, and she is awesome. That's our latest gold from this week.
It's a phenomenon.
And if you don't know what the golds are, you're going to have to go back and just listen to, I don't even know which podcast. I think we've done it now twice where we broke down the golds and kind of talked about those. But they're just great, and they make us smile. Hi, we're Big D, Bubba, Carson, Patrick, and this is really cool. We have a very special guest. Before we break into that, though, I've got to tell you, the podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts, as we're in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio right now. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. We have a special guest at the end of the show, and then we have a special guest in the middle of the podcast as well. Former NFL player, Nate Boyer, who was also a Green Beret in the Army. He's got a crazy story. He was a Green Beret. What are you drinking?
Oh, Diet Coke.
Oh, okay.
I mean, malt liquor.
Malt liquor.
That would have been great. No, he's a former Army Green Beret. And then after the military, he's like, oh, I'm going to go back to school. Got to go. I got all this college credit. So he goes and he plays as a walk-on at Texas after never playing high school football. And then ended up making it to the NFL with the Seahawks. So we'll put his interview at the end. It's really fascinating, especially going into Super Bowl weekend. He's the guy, by the way, who he was in the middle of the Kaepernick controversy because when Kaepernick first started, he was sitting for the national anthem. And Nate Boyer is the one who actually got him to start kneeling. And we'll get into all that, and it'll be really cool. So stick around for that at the end of the podcast. For those of you who are watching on Facebook, sorry, you don't get to hear that unless you actually go listen to the actual podcast itself. So, Patrick, who have you brought in here? I love your hat, by the way.
Yes, my hat is the best.
Let's zoom in on that.
So my best friend from high school, Dominic, who is from Germany and visits about twice a year.
Dominic, you've been on the podcast before, right?
Yes, he took his pants off last time. That was weird.
Wait, I'm sorry, your microphone was off.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I've been here. I stripped naked.
Yeah, I thought we did the podcast together.
Of course,
we did.
I do.
Dominic,
you were in the house.
I think about that often.
I get that a lot.
Dominic is a doctor, and he is a PhD in chemistry, and where were you? You were at a convention, an agriculture convention.
A poultry show.
A poultry.
Well, it's all about chicks. It was a chick show.
So there's an actual company in the United States called Chickmaster, which is what my hat says.
And he gave you the hat.
And he gave me the hat to wear because, let's face it.
That's the most ironic thing ever, by the way. Patrick wearing a hat that says Chickmaster. I mean, that's comedy all by itself. And you know what?
It was opposite day 3 days ago.
Was it really?
Yeah. So just the timing was that off.
Oh,
yeah.
Dang it.
So. Nothing like having a hat on that says Chickmaster when your record with the ladies is abysmal.
Yeah, well, you're doing better right now, though.
Hey. Pat,
have you introduced...
Your record is about two?
My record is what?
Like two?
Yeah, I'm like 2 for 30. I'm not doing so good.
Has Dominic met Vivica?
Dominic and Vivica met yesterday.
And how'd that go? What do you think?
I mean, she's simply great. But I was so nervous. It felt like a first date. It's like, you're going to meet your best friend's new girlfriend. Oh, God, she better like me.
Right.
I don't want to screw this up.
Yeah. I left him alone
amazing
at one
person.
Point.
And she can control Patrick. She's capable of humbling him, of grounding him. You know, she just kind of raises an eyebrow and that guy becomes silent or sits up straight at the table. I didn't manage this in the past 25 years. His mama failed, but Vivica can do it.
I haven't seen all this.
I think he's exaggerating, but whatever.
No, she's
yesterday
good for
was
you.
Also the first day I had had a drink in a month because dry January ended. So, and then Dominic showed up on February 1st. So we started drinking at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. In my office before we went to a party at the Country Music Hall of Fame where they gave us wine and beer for free. And yeah, it was a good time.
Hmm.
I'm sorry. By the way,
sorry I missed all that.
The Country Music Hall of Fame is a fabulous place, and you should visit if you're ever in Nashville. And if you want, you can join and become a member. If you're under 45, you can join the Troubadour Society, and four times a year they give you free alcohol. And it's great.
That's a selling point.
I get a phone call from Patrick yesterday afternoon. So what time are you getting here? Because I'm the designated driver.
Carson was the designated driver.
Well, you committed to that like 2 weeks ago.
No, that's adorable. You think I committed to it. No, it was deemed.
It was deemed.
You will drive us.
You shall be the designated driver.
I didn't realize that. I thought you
said,
hey.
Upon the death of Dry January.
Oh.
Because you want me to take people in my car? Or drive people in my car? It's the first time anybody had been in the backseat.
Are you a better driver than Patrick, though?
Yeah,
Everybody's a better driver than Patrick.
Hey.
Everybody. You drive like an old lady.
That's offensive to old ladies, I think. I'm just saying.
No, Patrick texts and drives.
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Patrick Snapchats and drives.
No,
oh, he's that guy.
I don't.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
No.
You get the
videos
of you and Amber singing along to some
stupid
90s. That's
usually at a stoplight. That does not count.
Because I see the
stuff in the background.
You sent me a picture of a traffic accident you drove by. You know?
That he caused. Patrick's yelling at me, why are you in the right lane? What? So I move over to the left lane. Well, then people are turning left. Patrick, now we're stuck in this lane.
Great.
And then he and Vivek are like making out in my back seat. And
we
that's
were
gross.
Not. We were
they
not. Snuck.
They tried.
We were
my
not.
My back seat was too big. They couldn't, because they couldn't get to each other.
Yeah, we were too far away.
That's horrible.
We were both buckled
you.
In.
That's a disgusting.
Right? I made a joke that we were gonna. We didn't actually
do
it.
No, I could see in my rearview mirror the heads started to turn toward each other.
It didn't work. It didn't work.
This is why I have seat covers.
Carson has
I thought you
seat
needed
covers.
This, I thought the seat covers were for the dog.
Well, they are, but apparently I need them for Patrick. So.
Oh. Man, is this going to be beat up on Patrick podcast?
Yeah, that's why
he's
here.
That's why Dominic's
pretty
here.
Much like
every
everyone.
Time. Yeah. It's so easy to find people who gang up on you.
Yeah, it really is kind of.
Do it because we love you.
Yeah, right.
The best part
Autumn
was.
Autumn Rose is in Germany and she says hello.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. Hello.
Let's see. She lives in Filderstadt. You know what that is?
Filderstadt, yeah.
Oh, Stadt. Did I say it wrong?
If it's spelled S-T-A-D-T, it's Stadt.
Stadt. Okay. Anyway. Hi, Autumn.
Well, that's cool. Hallo nach Deutschland.
Okay, I'm sorry. What were you going to say? I just kind of threw everything off. I was just happy.
No.
I saw somebody actually.
I was going to say, I loved last night. Patrick got up from the table we were sitting at, leaving Dominic and Vivica alone for the first time.
Oh.
And immediately Dominic goes, so what embarrassing stories do you want to hear about Patrick?
And there's plenty.
There are plenty.
Just jumped
but
right
it was,
in.
But no, it was really cool how they were very chatty. Mm. I think really did enjoy each other. I thought that was very nice.
Yeah, I find her to be very you got to bring her in one day onto the podcast.
Oh,
no, that would be great. I find her very pleasant. Mm-hmm. Like, she's very nice and
no, she's
conversational.
Great. I don't want you guys to have, you know, a whole hour to, no.
Just to ruin everything.
Yeah.
You know we wouldn't. We would never do that. Look, Carson, is
no.
that the way we operate?
Well, no.
When she comes in here, do we act like fools?
No.
Really? You haven't spent the last 10 minutes just all piling on?
That's because she's not
here.
She's not here. When she's not here.
She could be watching.
She's not
watching.
She's not watching.
She has a job.
Yeah. Thank God.
She's busy.
That's right. So, again, you know, I'm a little shocked that this is all working out, to be honest with you. Like, no, and I don't
see
and
that?
And Dominic's
the same
way.
What the hell,
Dominic's agreeing.
What are you nodding at?
Like, here's the thing. Patrick has struggled with relationships for a very long time. He struggled with relationships before his marriage. And then he struggled with that. And then he struggled with
With relationships during his marriage.
That's what I'm saying. And then he's you know struggled after like there was a several years.
It's been 6.5 years.
6.5 years of Patrick not getting a third date, and then all of a sudden he's got this girl that pops up out of nowhere that is smart, employed, pretty, nice. And
driven,
and she's been how many? It's, I mean, you guys have been together 2 months now?
Almost 3 months.
3 months. I mean, it's still kind of weird to me that, you know, we're in this mode now. And I'm happy about it. Don't get me wrong. I'm thrilled. I keep waiting for you to come in.
It is a shift to relationship Patrick.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And, and 3 months in Patrick years is 60 years.
Very fun. Ha, 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 ha. All right. Can we talk about, you know, anything else?
What would you like
to talk
about? All right,
Chickmaster.
Yeah. Well, actually, what you just did to me, you know, there's somebody in German, there's a German. It always beats me why people do that to me. It's like, what? You know, I know a German. Her name is Hannah. Do you know her? I'm like, there's 18 millions of us. What are the chances? What are the odds that I know her? Or do you know this in this city? Like, I'm the master in geography in Germany.
Might. You might.
Yeah, but how do you feel when you're traveling somewhere and somebody just looks at you? You know,
my mother just texted and said, tell Dominic to be nice to you. That's literally, she's watching the podcast.
No, I know.
And she literally just said that.
I know what you're saying. Like, you know, whenever you're traveling, you go, oh, yeah, well, I grew up in Houma, Louisiana. Oh, really? You're from Louisiana? Do you know so-and-so? And you're like,
it's
where
really
are they
bad
from?
When you come from a foreign country, though. It is a little bit more of a thing.
It's the same. Yeah. It's the same.
It is our way of trying to connect with you.
Yeah.
It's a very weird thing because people do it even in the States. It like, oh, I'm from Connecticut. I knew someone from Connecticut once. Well, chances are we don't know each other.
Was it James Vanderbeek?
Yes, it was. but I think it's a way for people to connect. And it's silly because the 18 million,
how often
you're
does somebody
know.
Say this to you? Oh, you're from Germany? My grandfather was in Germany once.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah, you get that a lot. My grandpa kicked your grandpa's butt. How do you like that?
Or good.
Yeah.
Well, that got all worse.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, well. Dominic and I make more World War II jokes than anyone you've ever met. We do this a lot.
I didn't know anyone made World War II jokes.
Oh, we make a lot of them.
Okay, admit it. We lost the war.
Yeah.
But at least not within 2 weeks like the French. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is kind of World War II.
That's my favorite World
War
II joke that a German ever told me.
So
we were in France and Dominic goes, yeah, we lost the war, but at least we didn't lose it in 2 weeks. And we're sitting at a cafe drinking coffee and I'm like, oh, that's freaking great. I realize that he's walking around. He's 6'5", blonde hair and blue eyes, and French people are looking at him very wearily. And I went, yeah, this is probably weird because we're right on the border and they probably still don't trust Germans.
Would you?
No!
Man. Okay, so I've been finding, and we talked about it a little bit on the podcast, I've been watching this show called Hunting Hitler, and it's all about the theory that Hitler
I think
escaped.
That got him.
Wait. It's all about the theory
Hunting Hitler. It's like, sorry.
Yeah, no. No, it's all about
the idea that he
wasn't in the bunker. And he left. He ended up in South America somewhere or something like that. Have you heard anything about that? We're going straight to the source.
Yeah, German.
With a
German
PhD
things.
In chemistry, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, are there rumors?
Last time I saw Hitler, he was in a ditch
covered
in petrol.
No, but I mean,
on fire.
Are there any of these things that only Americans want to know? Because we don't believe, there's a large portion, I'm not going to say we as in a generalization, but there's a large portion of Americans that don't believe he actually killed himself in the bunker. And they think that he had a body double and because they burned it. They burned it. I mean, come on, man. They torched the body to make it unrecognizable.
We're talking about an event in 45.
Yeah.
Even if he had escaped, he's dead now.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about if he's alive now. They just want to find out if he actually got away.
Actually got out, yeah.
That's not a big thing. I mean, there's a lot of documentations on the History Channel, but it's never, is Hitler still alive? It's more about how could this traumatic event happened. What led to it? This is the main question.
See, it's different.
Addressing.
It's different. Here in America, we go off on this crazy deep end where we are like, we don't want to know how it happened. We want to know, okay, so if he got away, we start really going into
they
kook
have
world.
Photographs.
Okay, so where
of
are they hunting
man?
Hitler?
Well,
Argentina?
In Brazil,
the conspiracy?
Yes, they found places in Argentina and Chile and Peru and all these places
seriously,
like that where there are
conspiracy.
Nazi compounds where they have found heavy water remnants and things to make a nuclear bomb because that was his goal. And that was the whole thing was that they went to South America to start the Fourth Reich and whatnot. And it was going to be this crazy, you know, next step. And I didn't know if that was something that only, and now I do. It is something that only Americans.
It's a fact that there was definitely a bunch of high-ranking Nazis who escaped.
There was
landed
a bunch
South America.
They were caught there.
But so the theory is Hitler was also there in hiding. But I mean, you know, it's one of those things. It's kind of like, I don't know. We're really chasing. It's that.
Well, that's
conspiracy
what we do.
Thing.
That's
exactly.
What we do. That's, I mean, if you don't ask questions, if you don't look for answers, you're never going to know.
It's like that episode of Monty Python where they're in
Mr. Bimbler.
Mr. Bimbler. Yes.
I don't remember that one.
They're clearly a bunch of Nazis staying in this bed and breakfast. And they're playing. They've got a map of Europe on the table, and they're talking. And then they keep calling them by different names, but they're not. It's the whole joke.
There's an episode of Golden Girls where Rose is like points at a picture of Hitler and says, "Oh, that was my gym teacher." And yeah, he was married to Ava Braun. Yeah, you know Ava. It was a whole thing that they escaped to St. Olaf,
Minnesota, yeah. And that's where they lived out their lives.
That's about all I can tell you about the conspiracy theory of Hitler is because of Rosen Island,
which is great. I know a German. Do you know another German? House Hitler. Yes. What else you want to ask me?
Well, see, that's even worse. Now I feel even worse because you're sitting here going, oh, do you know somewhere in German? Like I asked you about where the city was. Then I asked you about that. And then I go into, I'm pretty much ruined all,
yeah,
all you, relations
you just
here
went
today.
Right down the stereotypes there.
Yeah. Well, so are any of your cousins named Heidi or?
My middle name is Heidi.
Yes.
Have you ever worn lederhosen?
There, I knew it was next. That's always the next question.
Yeah, of course.
When
have
Dominic
you really?
And I were...
Yeah, sure.
Wait, no. I don't know if you're making fun now or what.
No, honestly, when I was a little kid, my mom used to put me in lederhosen. Because if you pee in a lederhosen, you can't just rinse it.
There's a reason stereotypes exist. I'm just saying.
Listen, when Dominic and I were 15 and 16, we were in high school, and people would always ask the same question. So he had created this... Do you remember it? It was like, yes, well, I wake up in the morning and I put on my lederhosen and I climb out of the tree.
No, first I drink a liter of beer.
Liter of beer and I climb out of the treehouse and I go to work in the factory.
Eat a bratwurst.
Yeah. And then I come home back to the treehouse and I'm there with Heidi and I take off Heidi's lederhosen. Like, he had this whole spiel worked
out. It was all the questions.
It was all of the stereotypical German things people would say, people
That's
would ask
great,
him.
Man.
And I was believed.
Yes, of course.
That's the
we
scary
eat
part.
Sauerkraut and, you know, drink schnapps.
I eat sauerkraut.
No.
I do. And sausage.
I'm just waiting when we get to the next topic of Oktoberfest. Because this is like
horse
in line.
So, let's ask. So, no, Oktoberfest is a thing, right? That's like, is it in October or?
It's in May. That's why we call it Oktoberfest.
My favorite was Oktoberfest not too long ago. We're in Colorado for Oktoberfest, and they've got all these breweries, like three breweries represented at this Oktoberfest thing, and 12 pot dispensaries. I'm like, whoa, Oktoberfest has changed a little bit in Colorado. It's a little different nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you turn it on us?
Yeah, why don't
ask
you ask us some stereotypical American things?
Yeah.
If we were an American tourist in Germany, what would everyone be asking us?
When did you last eat a hamburger? Mm-hmm. That'll be probably it. How big is your car?
Every one of us, all three of us, right? And Dee, who had to leave, all four of us, we all have a bigger car than the biggest car I ever saw when I was in Germany. They have 18-wheelers that are smaller than Big D's truck. Seriously. They're not that big. The 18-wheelers are not like we have here.
Well, they've got
here.
Those little tiny roads they have to go on, those old like roads that were basically
built by
Hitler, the Romans.
Yes, these roads.
Yes.
I wasn't going.
The Autobahn.
I wasn't going.
The Autobahn is not tiny.
I wasn't
it's
going
bigger
Hitler.
Than the interstate.
I was going to say
For
these
the record,
roads.
That's not a joke. Hitler really built the Autobahn.
Right. We know that. Okay. What I was going to say is a lot of these little roads they used to be cart paths and they were built by the Romans. I mean, I was going way back.
There's been some reconstruction work.
Oh, my God. The Nunes memo was just declassified, and we're all talking about Hitler. I don't know.
did they leave the names in or out? That's the only thing. The whole thing about this memo, and again, by the time most people are going to hear the podcast, they're going to have found out what's in the memo. And I'm not even going to look at it right now because I don't want to get distracted. They're talking about declassifying it, but then redacting all the names. And the whole point is you want to know who was involved. Why would you redact the names? If that's the case, don't put it out. So it'll be interesting. Patrick, are you looking at it?
I'm getting there.
I knew you would.
I'm not going to bring it up because I really would rather keep making Hitler jokes.
So what else besides how big is your car?
How big is your car is my favorite.
Anything else that
– Do you own a gun?
Do we own – wow.
Yeah. Well, because they don't have guns at all. So right. It's the first time. I don't know if I told this story last time you were here. The first time we took Dominic shooting. Dominic, my brother Barkley, has this little, 9mm, nothing fancy. Gives it to Dominic.
Only an American would say something like this, yeah. 9mm, little, nothing fancy.
Yeah, little, nothing fancy. he's showing him how to hold it and all this and line it up, and we got a target out in the woods. And Dominic, it had 9 bullets in the gun, okay? Dominic takes the first shot, and the sensation of firing that gun.
For the first time.
And it freaked him out a little bit, and you could see, and he kind of let
Well, we saw that with Carson.
Yeah, he turned and looked at Barkley like, what do I do now? And Barkley goes, pull it, boy. And he just went, and he just, boom, boom, boom. He just fired off the next 8 shots like a pro. And my brother goes up to Dominic and goes, let me ask you this. It's kind of like being the first time you were with a woman, wasn't it? It was that good. And Dominic goes, yeah, and it lasted just about as long. Classic line. Classic.
Carson.
Yeah.
Your experience with a gun was it?
Yeah, Carson had never shot a gun until last year.
So you guys have something in common.
Yeah,
one of us have shown you guys firearms, and that was kind of a crazy thing because you were like seriously afraid of it. And we had several different guns. We shot my M4.
Yeah, there was one I wouldn't shoot because it was like heavy, and I was just afraid, and I just stood there. And stood there.
Was that the 40, or was it the rifle, or was it the big pistol?
It was a big pistol.
Yeah, it was my 40.
And I just went, nope. You know what? Nope. Can't do it. Like, I was afraid to pull the trigger, and I was afraid it was going to, like, hit me in the face or something. Not the bullet. I thought it was going to, like, buck back and hit me. So I just put it back down. And,
you like the M4, right? The rifle?
Yeah, that was cool. I actually was thinking about this the other day, that I do need to get you guys to take me again because, it's been a year, so.
Has it been a year?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, close to it.
Oh, that's crazy.
So. Yeah, because that's my one and only time.
And that's the key, too, is with firearms, to be safe, you've got to shoot on a regular basis because you don't want to be, you don't want to get bad habits. So it's good to go out and practice, as with anything.
Should we go practice? Should we take Dominic to the range?
Go for it.
Uh-huh.
That was when we had our German exchange student living with us. That was the one thing they said they could not do. They could not shoot any firearm whatsoever.
Could not because of ethical reasons? I don't know if it was legal regulations.
It was part of the deal with when we brought her into the house. The papers we signed, it said no matter what, you cannot allow her to shoot any kind of weapon whatsoever. It was really strange, but I was like,
okay. It is weird. That weird. I mean, why is that prohibited in a country where it's legal?
Probably insurance reasons.
I was thinking it's liability.
Maybe liability, but
What else do Germans want to know about Americans?
Probably politics we shouldn't discuss here.
Right.
That'll be the next big thing.
Right. Yeah. We don't want to dive into politics. Oh my gosh. Okay. Have you guys seen the derp fakes thing? It's been going around the internet where they put Nicolas Cage's face on other actors. So they put him in all these different movies, but also they're using it for nefarious reasons. And they're making putting stars into adult movies and adult films. They're putting their face on the actresses or actors. The one that I saw the other day was pretty funny. They had Angela Merkel with a Trump face on her. And it was really funny. Like, she was doing the little, how he does that little squish face? She was doing it. It was fantastic.
I haven't seen that so far. You got to show it to me later.
I will definitely find it. It's called Derp Fakes or Deep Fakes or something like that. You'll be able to find it on YouTube. Just do Merkel Trump face.
Did you see the clip that's going viral from Jeopardy last night?
No.
Category was football. Because it's leading up to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And in just stereotypical Jeopardy fashion, none of the contestants knew anything. They went
what?
Football. They went through all 5 questions, and it was crickets.
This is when I would totally own Jeopardy.
Jeopardy is still a thing.
Oh, yeah, Jeopardy
is
still a thing.
Yes, it is.
It's cheap television.
Yeah.
It's so cheap to make, and then it makes a lot of money.
And it's
because
things like this, when it's a football category, that the rest of us feel super smart. Because, I'm yelling, you don't know who Tom Landry is? I mean, I'm, yelling
who
at the screen.
Who is Tom Landry?
Well, okay, but you're German. You wouldn't have known, Dallas Cowboys stuff. But they asked, you know, like what it was, something the clue about, you know, Tom Landry perfected blah 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 with this team.
By the way, like, they did the same thing with country music once when they had country music questions.
Yeah,
they wiped out 0 for 5. Really? Three contestants, not a one of them knew anything. Mm-mm.
Wow.
What was the title of Garth Brooks' second album that sold 10 million, his first to sell 10 million copies?
No Fences?
Cricket.
What is No Fences?
Yeah. But no, they have no idea. That's what I love it when they do pop culture stuff on Jeopardy. Like when TV comes on and I'm like, all right, we're in my wheelhouse. And I'm yelling at them, how are you so stupid? And
you then, yell at your TV?
Yes.
I want to watch TV.
Oh my, I yell at TV. I'll yell at Riverdale. I'll yell at Outlander. I'll yell at Jeopardy. I'll yell at the news. Like, that graphic is grammatically incorrect. Why are you so stupid? Yeah. I
want to watch TV with you now.
I should probably just have a feed going for my house.
You should. You know those reaction videos get a lot of views.
Jeopardy is still on air.
We have Wheel of Fortune, too.
Yeah.
No
those
way.
Those shows, game shows like
that. You still
like
have
that.
The Price is Right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Wow.
Yeah. Like primetime?
No.
No, it's in the middle TV. Of the day.
But Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy are usually on at night. Like, no, just before primetime.
And you watch it.
Oh, yes.
A lot
yes,
of people
I do.
Yes,
I
do. Again, it's very cheap to produce. Anything cheap like that that makes a lot of money is going to go on forever.
But like, have you showed him HQ Trivia yet?
No.
See, that's
we missed it last night. We're playing today.
Yeah. I was playing it at the gym. I was playing HQ Trivia. Like Patrick and I have played trivia before together. Like, I love trivia stuff. So yeah, Jeopardy is like, I'm all in because maybe I'll pick up a stupid fact or something. But now there's a game show on your phone that you play twice a day, and Patrick has won 3 times. I've won once.
I've never won.
Yeah, Bub and I are at the gym yesterday, and he's texting me. He's like, I'm going to play HQ. I'm like, me too. Like, I'm working out on the treadmill, and I'm got it pulled up, and I'm trying to push buttons, and yeah.
It was wonky yesterday. Like, I got booted off. I got through question number 3. I got it right. And then the very next thing, it said I was eliminated. The next question, I'm trying to press it, and it's like eliminated. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, mine won't let me use extra lives.
And I'll see, like, people will post on the bottom, glitch or whatever. And that apparently is what happened to me. I didn't type it. I just told Carson. I said, I'm done. I'm going home.
Yeah. But it was a cool way to pass time on the treadmill. Honestly, like, waiting for it to go. Because I'm focused on something other than the clock of, oh my gosh, it's only been 30 seconds. So
if you're capable typing on your cell phone while being on the treadmill.
Well, you don't have to type.
You're not working out in a proper manner.
You don't have to type.
No, you don't.
I mean, I'm sorry.
You just push a button.
Just push the button when
it gives you.
You don't have to type. It gives you the answers, and you just have to push which one's right.
Yep.
So it's nothing more than like changing the incline on a treadmill. It's the same thing. So yeah, I did.
I really thought you had to type an answer.
No. It's not that complicated. I mean, you're probably right. I could still probably up my game, but you know. Judgy German.
Just trying to learn.
Dominic
here.
And I were talking about the difference in animal noises. You wouldn't think, like, because his English is so, I mean, it's beyond incredible. It's
not. I still don't understand your daughter's jokes.
Okay. He doesn't understand Evangeline's jokes. But
Patrick's
puns.
Daughter sounds like Loretta Lynn.
It's not that. It's the puns that throw him off sometimes.
Oh, really?
But yeah. But
it's about the pronunciation because, we were taught at school to really focus on how we pronounce words. It's like, aren't. And Evangeline threw me off with this stupid old knock-knock joke. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Aren't you going to open the door? And I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I really didn't get it.
Do you get it now?
Yeah, but I had to read it. I really had to read it. Oh, it's are not and orange.
Orange.
Oh, no, I understand.
Yeah.
So... Pun? Germany doesn't have puns?
Well,
they are in German, though.
Yeah. Learning puns in another language
written by
is
Hitler.
Really, really Oh, my God. I just had this image of Hitler sitting at a desk going, they are going to love this one. This one is really going
to
make.
This is the funniest joke ever.
Oh, Himmler is going to laugh until he pees. Wait till Goebbels reads this one that he'll crack him up. I'm sorry.
Oh, my
gosh. This is the worst.
Props to you
ever.
For having all the Nazi higher-ups in your vocab.
Oh. I mean, it's not Goebbels, just puns that throw me off.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
France.
France who?
Oh, there's no more France. Oh. No one. There are like four people laughing at these jokes, but nobody.
I swear, I think snot just came out of his nose. Do you need a Kleenex?
Great.
There is no friends.
There's no friends. Oh, crap.
But I mean, you're right. Animal noises throw me off. Puns throw me off.
Like, what do pigs say?
In German, you would say probably something like.
Yeah, they don't.
Or grunz, grunz.
But you guys
don't
say
oink, oink, oink.
Really? Mm-mm. What does a dog say in German?
Vow, vow.
Vow, vow.
Vow, vow?
Vow, vow.
That's close to bow wow, though.
It's the same thing. What does a rooster say in English?
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
No, it's...
In German, it's kikiriki.
Which, what?
Kikiriki.
That doesn't even sound like it.
Neither does cock-a-doodle-doo.
Neither does cock-a-doodle-doo. In French, it's cocorico. So it's kind of got the same kind of thing, but it's different. In French, a dog says arf, arf instead of wolf, wolf.
What does the fox say?
What does the fox say? Look at it, he got him. Goebbels, knock, knock.
Oh, Lord.
Lovely.
I'm sorry, I'm never going to. I'm now creating a stand-up routine of Hitler doing knock, knock jokes. Somewhere there's an audience that will find that hysterical.
Germany.
I don't think you could tell those jokes. Would people laugh at that? Or would it be way too, is it too soon? Too soon.
No, we laugh about that. It's okay.
Okay.
But only in private.
Only in private, yeah.
Like, oh, Lord. All right, so I think we're about done.
Okay, good.
Because I think it's time for...
good as it gets.
I think we need to go out and have a nice lunch now. Yes.
No.
Come on, y'all.
No.
Nobody ever wants to go to lunch with me,
we
ever.
We have stuff to do, man.
All right. The podcast sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. And again, stick around after the jingle. If you're watching on Facebook, we're sorry. You can't watch. You can't hear what's coming unless you go listen to the podcast on any podcast app or the Big D and Bubba app. If you have the Big D and Bubba app, which is on Droid, it's on iPhone, it's free. You can catch up with all the podcasts. You can see all the Instagram stuff, the social media stuff. You can listen to the show no matter where you're at, I think around the world even. So go and get that. Again, it's free. Do you have the podcast app yet?
Nope.
Well, you need to fix that.
Yes,
I sure will.
I mean, if you really love your best friend in the world, Patrick, you would have the app so you could listen to see what he's up to.
Which is kind of hard. It's still business hours in Germany.
Wait, what?
It's still business hours in Germany.
No, it's not. It's like it's 6 o'clock at night.
Early in the morning, though, for you. I mean, you could do that. I don't know.
6 o'clock at night in Germany right now.
Either way, get it. It's awesome. It's great. Also, we're going to do the Nate Boyer Green Beret interview coming up next. So there you go. Guys, have a great one. Dominic, it's always fantastic to see you.
I'll be back in May.
Did you read the commercial? I can't remember.
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts?
Okay.
O'Reilly Auto.
Play the song.
O'Reilly.
This was the podcast, but now it's over, but that's okay.
It's really okay.
Listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Hey, Nate Boyer is joining us on the hotline. Hey, Nate, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're not as cool as you, but we're hanging. We're trying. Nate.
What makes you not as cool as me?
Okay. Well, here we.
Where do
take
we
your,
begin?
Take your shirt
you
off.
To start at childhood.
Take your shirt off, and there's a good start.
My shirt's already off. It's always off.
Oh, nice.
Mine too.
Yeah, mine too.
Small world.
Nate, United States Army Green Beret, played Texas. Played for the Seahawks. You know what amazes me about you, Nate, is that you were a walk-on. University of Texas, and you had never played football, organized football before?
That is true.
You didn't play
high school? I was 22. It was a huge regret growing up that I never played. I played other sports, and football is my favorite, and it never worked out for me. So when I went back to college after the military, I just figured I'd try out for the football team, and the rest is history, my friend.
That's crazy.
You know, as we're coming up, you know, the Super Bowl this weekend and all, I know that... You know, you've had a lot of people don't understand the relationship that you have and the conversation you had with Colin Kaepernick. How did that come about and what did you tell him?
You know, when he was initially sitting on the bench, I think, like a lot of people in this country, I was kind of confused and I was hurt personally because of what that anthem and flag represents, not necessarily the words to the song, but what they stand for. It hurt me to see somebody sitting that out. You know, I didn't fully understand where it was coming from. And so I wrote this open letter. I got reached out to by every publication to write something because of, you know, my unique perspective of having served in the military and then having played football. And I didn't want to write this opinion piece telling him why he should or shouldn't do something, because that's what everybody's already doing. So I wrote it from the perspective of, look, this is why it means so much to me in my experience, but I'm willing to listen to yours. And I think he was inspired by that. So he reached out to me, and we ended up sitting down and meeting in the team hotel before they played the San Diego Chargers in the preseason last year. And after our conversation, I showed him messages from fellow Green Berets of mine and people I'd served with, and kind of talked about all kinds of different perspectives. And he agreed to take a knee instead of sit, you know, take a knee alongside his teammates that night. And that's sort of where that came from, and it took off from there. And, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, I think that at least some amount of compromise and movement there was a step in the right direction.
So you definitely think that taking a knee is more respectful than sitting on the bench?
I think it shows something more proactive, you know, more reverent. I mean, people take a knee to pray. You know, a man takes a knee when he proposes to his wife. I think sitting something out, optics-wise, just looks like you don't care. You know what I mean? And that's just my opinion. Obviously, people will disagree with that. People think it's just as disrespectful, and I appreciate that opinion. I mean, I fought for our rights at the end of the day. You know, whether I agree with them or not is not what matters to me. What matters to me is the ultimate freedoms that we have here. And, you know, as much as it pains me and hurts me, I fought for people that burned the flag, too, and I'll still fight for them. I don't have to like it. But that's what makes this country great. We can do those things and nobody cuts your head off.
Yeah, that's yes. Yes, you're right. You know, we're in a weird position because, and you brought up the flag burning thing. I feel that you guys, you can say more than I can, because I'm not in the military. I'm just a regular old American. But I know that the conversation is, hey, it's still their right to do it. But, man, I just can't get over it. I can't.
It hurts you to your core.
It's I don't know what it is. I can't. I understand logically that, hey, that's their right to burn the flag. But I just can't let my emotions overpower that. And I don't know how you guys.
It's the same thing like if somebody burned the Bible. It's that same feeling deep down inside where you just, everything you've been taught, they're stepping on it and burning it and whatnot. So I know what you're talking
about. That's where we're at, you know, Nate? I mean, we're in this place because we have our country is so awesome, but at the same time, man, sometimes it really sucks to be so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts me too. I'm not going to say it doesn't. I'm just trying to be bigger than that and stay open-minded as much as I can. Like, open-mindedness is not exclusive to people with liberal values, just as patriotism isn't exclusive to people with conservative values. And I think we need to understand that more, because there's too much division in our country right now. We're not listening to one another. It doesn't feel like the United States. It feels the quite opposite of that. And that's not what I fought for. You know, I fought for everybody here. When you say plain old American or regular American or whatever you are, I fought for you guys, and so much of what you guys do, I appreciate. That's what makes this country great. I fought for everybody playing football, because when I was overseas, football was one of the escapes for me. You know, I love that. Listening to entertainment, the radio, all that, I mean, that stuff's great. If we don't have that stuff, then what are we fighting for in the first place? So, yeah. But I'm still going to work towards solutions, you know, and you know, I want to see more than anything, more of these players that are demonstrating, like some of them are doing, working with local law enforcement. If they want to see changes, be a part of the change in a positive way.
And that's the thing. If we stop yelling at each other and dismissing each other and actually listen and have a conversation, I think we can come up with some real solutions.
I know some people are pretty stupid, but
I know we can. I know we can, but you know, a lot of the mainstream news stations, they don't want that to happen, because then they got nothing to talk about, and they can't sell any more advertising spots. So
hey, talk to us.
They're going to fight that to the end.
Sorry, Nate. Hey, talk to us about this charity that you're doing, the MVP.
Yeah, Emerging Vets and Players was started by Jay Glazer and myself, and you know, combat veterans and former professional athletes. Obviously, what they did on the battlefield or the playing field are very different. But that loss of identity and that lack of that sense of purpose when the uniform comes off is very similar. So the struggles with transition are something that they can help one another with. And that's where MVP, that's why it was founded, and that's what it's all about. It's through this this team, you know, and this newfound sense of brotherhood and camaraderie, building one another up and remembering who you are as the person that overcame so much to achieve what you achieved, not the uniform you wore. And applying that to your life moving forward, that's what we need. We need challenges. We need to find ways to serve. We need to push each other. But we also need to believe and understand that life isn't over just because we're not serving or playing anymore. There's a lot of living left to do. And just remembering who you are is the most important thing. You know, that's what we're doing with the organization. It's just simply a sense of being and believing in one another and building each other up from the inside out. That's what we're all about.
You can follow the charity online. The site is vetsandplayers.org. Vetsandplayers.org. And is spelled out. Nate, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. Thank you for your service. And keep doing what you're doing, and we'll send them your way, brother. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. Thank you guys for having me.
You can follow him on Twitter as well, @NateBoyer37. Thanks, Nate.